Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
For this morning's message, if you wish to follow along, I will read a verse from Paul's epistle to Timothy. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, we read these words of the Apostle Paul. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." My subject, my title this morning, and my subject is, "Here is God's record of His Son." But think about this verse, a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. And here, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What a statement of hope if you know you're a sinner. If you know you're a sinner. What a blessing of declared mercy and grace it is if God has convinced you that you are a sinner. And according to God's book, the Apostle John lets us know this in John chapter 16, verse 8, that it is the Spirit of God that convinces men of sin. It is not my job to convince men of sin. It is my responsibility to preach what sin really is, what sin's all about. But it is the Holy Spirit that must convince or convict or reprove a man of or a woman of sin. Yes, it is true. It is true. All men and women are sinners by nature. We know that's true, of course, from Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But not all men and women know and are convinced of this. I mean, our Lord Jesus Christ even gave these words in Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught this. He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He said, if a man's whole, he doesn't need a physician. You see, it's only those that God Almighty, by His power and His prerogative, by His Spirit, that He, through the preaching of the gospel, by the power of the Spirit of God, convinces a man or a woman that they're a sinner. Then, when He does that, they will read this with great joy and great hope. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." You see, this state, that is the state of being a sinner, is something that the sinner never outgrows, because Paul goes on to say, think of it, he's writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He's a man who's preached the gospel for years and suffered for the cause of Christ for years, preached his gospel under distress at sometimes and trouble and tribulation and sufferings, but yet he writes, "Of whom I am chief." So a true God-taught sinner, a sinner that's taught by God that they are a sinner, they never outgrow being a sinner. But the truth is much more than a sinner is saved. It's much more than that. The truth that Paul's getting at here is much more than a sinner saved by grace, and then that sinner never gets over being saved by grace. Note Paul's exact words. Look at what he says. "That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." It does not say that Christ Jesus came into the world so sinners could be saved. That is true. The book teaches that Jesus Christ came into the world and He did what He did, and now sinners can be saved. But that's not what Paul says here. He says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But let me make it also clear. It never states in the book of God. Never is it stated or even insinuated. Never is it taught in God's word that Jesus Christ came into the world to make salvation possible. No. No, sir. That is not the truth. He came to save sinners while He was here in this world. You see, Let me ask you this. Would you be surprised if I say to you, when Christ Jesus came into the world, he did save sinners? Would you be confused if I say, when Christ Jesus came into the world, he, in his sufferings, in his death on the cross, he actually, when he suffered and died on the cross, that he actually reconciled, he actually made peace for, and he actually put away the sins of, that he actually sanctified and perfected, that he actually brought to God those for whom he died when he died. Did you hear what I just said? Let me say that again. I know it's a little lengthy, but think about this. If you're listening to me and you're interested in the truth, you want to know the truth about the person and work of Christ, think about this. When Christ came into the world, he, in his sufferings and death on the cross, he actually, when he suffered and died on the cross, he reconciled, he made peace for, he put away the sins of, he sanctified and perfected, he brought to God those for whom he died when he died. If that surprises you, then you've never heard the truth of the gospel of the cross work of Jesus Christ. It's just a fact. The gospel. Hear me now. Don't turn away now. Listen to what I have to say. Listen to what the scriptures say. I want to go to a few passages of scripture, and let's look at exactly what is written in the Word of God and see what does God actually say in the scripture about what Jesus Christ accomplished when he died on that cross. Now, if you're following along, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and listen to what Peter writes. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I have just one verse. Let's look at it. 1 Peter chapter 3 again, and let's look at verse 18. Now look at this. We'll go through these scriptures, just four or five of them here. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Christ is not suffering for sins now. He is not making atonement for sins now. He is not reconciling now. He is not making peace now. He's already suffered for sins, and he done it once. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just, that's Christ, for the unjust, that's sinners. That's sinners. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Do you see it? Look at it. It says it right there. That he might bring us to God. So I stop for a moment in reading this and say, how? How is it that he might bring us to God? Most teach today that he died on the cross and made it possible that at some later time, now even in this time, when you hear preaching and you go forward, you pray the sinner's prayer, or you believe and you repent, or you believe and you repent and are baptized, then Christ brings you to God. That is not what this says. Now look at it. Read it with me again if you're following along. And if you're not, just listen to what it says. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So those that Christ did bring to God, he did bring to God when he died on that cross. And somebody says, preacher, explain that to me. I don't have to explain it. I'm preaching what God says. The question is, do I believe that? Do you believe that? Look at another passage. Hebrews chapter 1. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 1. And let's look at exactly what this says. Hebrews chapter 1, and mainly verses 1 through 3. Look at it. If you're following along, follow along with me as I read. If you're not, if you're just listening, listen to what it says. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now stop for a moment. You notice if you're following, I'll stop for a moment. But now notice what it says next. Notice what is written in the pages of Holy Scripture. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So when did Christ purge sins? He does not purge sins. This book does not teach your sins are purged. It never says they're purged when you believe or you repent or you are baptized or you join the church. Sins were purged when he died on that tree, and then he went to glory and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now here's the question. Did he or did he not do these things then on the cross? That's the gospel question. That's where faith lays hold of. It's not about he died so I could be saved if I do this. It is he died. He brought a people to God. That is everyone for whom he died. He brought them to God, being put to death in the flesh but quickened by the Spirit. And when he died on that tree, he purged sins. He purged sins and then went and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Did he not? Again, I ask. Did he or did he not do these things on the cross? I also mentioned to you, not only that he brought a people to God, not only that he purged a people's sins, that's those for whom he died, but also said that he sanctified and perfected a people when he died. Look, same book, Hebrews chapter 10. And listen to what Hebrews chapter 10 says. And for the sake of time this morning, I will begin in verse 8. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 8. Above, when he said, that is, this is Christ speaking. And this is actually being quoted from the Old Testament. So this is no new thing. It was prophesied by God. But in the purpose and the mind of God, it was already accomplished in that purpose. And in time, Jesus Christ came and actually did these things. Listen to what he says. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. This is still Christ speaking. He, that is Christ, taketh away the first, that is the old sacrifices, the offering of bulls and goats and lambs and turtle doves, all these things. I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Now, did he do that or did he not? Yes. Faith says yes, he did. But look at what else it says. By the which will we are sanctified. How? How are we sanctified? I know a lot of people have a lot of different opinions about how and when a man or a woman is sanctified. But listen, oh listen if you can. Listen to what the book of God says. By the which will we are sanctified. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And now here it is. Look, here's the kicker. For by one offering, he's not offering himself anymore. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And then he went and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Do you see that? So, when did Christ sanctify and perfect anyone? When did he do it? He is not doing this now. I'm not saying there is no sanctification and no perfection that happens in time, even now. But I am saying that this book teaches that when Jesus Christ died, whoever he died for, he sanctified them and perfected them then. This is what the book of God teaches. You see, in his cross work, he did this. In his cross work, he did this. This work is accomplished. This is what he was talking about when he cried on the cross, it is finished. He was not talking about his life was finished. He was not talking about merely, I'm ready to die now. I'm ready to give up the ghost, which he did do. But he's saying, it is finished. What? Sanctification and perfection is done. It's done. He did it while he was on that tree. And as I said, this is no new doctrine. If you're still following along, if you're still with me, turn to Isaiah chapter 53. And I want to read Isaiah a few verses from Isaiah chapter 53. This is no new doctrine. This is no new teaching. I realize this is probably not being taught in most places called churches, but this is the gospel. This is the truth that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I'm saying that this book teaches that Jesus Christ, when he died, saved some people. Yes, they must still be regenerated. Yes, they must still be converted by the preaching of the gospel. But Jesus Christ guaranteed all those things by doing what he did at Calvary. And listen what was prophesied of him by Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 53. And we'll begin in verse 8. This is speaking of Christ. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he'd done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. These are real, true, accomplished things. These things are done and over with. But look at what else it says. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That does not mean that God the Father sat up in heaven and laughed when Jesus died and suffered, when suffered and died. No, but it means God was satisfied. The pleasure of God's holiness and his righteousness and his wrath was satisfied and quenched by what Jesus Christ was doing on that cross. Look, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He, that is God the Father, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. If you believe, and I know a lot of people were taught this. I was taught this years ago. If you believe that Jesus Christ came to make it merely possible that everybody be saved, and that is God's pleasure, then you've got to admit, you've got to come to reckon with this, that God's pleasure and God's will failed. And that is just not so. Look at what he says. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He, that is the Father, shall see the travail of his, the Son's, soul, and shall be satisfied. When was God satisfied? Then, when Christ suffered on that tree. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Why? Because he died for many. Many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul into death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. I have the question again. Do you see? Do you believe that Jesus Christ actually accomplished this in his cross work? Now, that's what men and women believe or they reject. That's what they believe or reject. The gospel is the declaration that Jesus Christ actually accomplished salvation when he died on that tree. And men and women either believe that message by the grace of God, or they reject that message by their own depraved wills and heart, and they perish. Do you see that? Do you see that when Christ suffered and died on the cross, he actually did accomplish some real salvation for those for whom he suffered and he died? This is his cross work. I have one more passage. Romans chapter 5. Turn to that one. Romans chapter 5, and let's read what it says there. And remember, let's look at what the words actually say. Not a man reading them and then trying to explain them. You really don't need them explained. You just need them emphasized. And that's what I'm trying to do. Emphasize what it's actually saying and teaching in the words. Romans chapter 5, and let's look at verse 6 again for the sake of time. For when we were yet without strength, how much strength do we have? None. Zero. This is not talking about physical strength. A lot of people have physical strength. This is spiritual strength. And men and women by nature have no spiritual strength. We cannot help ourselves. But look at what it says. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for. Who did Christ die for? Christ died for the ungodly. Do you see that? I'm here to tell you this morning. If you think yourself to be a righteous person, then you got no right to think Jesus Christ died for you. Because Jesus Christ died for who? The ungodly. For scarcely, for a righteous man will one die. And that's righteous men among men, not a righteous man in the sight of God. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Notice all the emphasis here is upon Jesus Christ and his cross work. That which he went through on that cross when he died once for all time. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, you see it? But since this is so, it's even much more than that, Paul says. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And someone says, preacher, what does that mean? Paul's going to explain to us what that means. Next verse. Verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, not believers, not baptized believers, not baptized church member believers, but for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Do you see that? Yes, he is writing to believers. And actually, he is writing only to believers, but he's writing to believers about a time when they were not believers. And specifically for these people here at Rome, they were actually alive during the time of Christ. Many of them were probably actually alive during the time of Christ, but they were unbelievers. They were enemies. They were against God. And yet Christ had reconciled them even while they were an enemy. And how did he do it? Excuse me. By the death of this Son. Again, much more. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, he says, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, or that word could be reconciliation, the reconciliation. You see, this passage is plain. It's in black and white. It's even translated into English for us who speak, for those of us who speak English. And it is saying clearly here, now hear me now, because this is the gospel. It is saying that everyone for whom Jesus Christ died, he reconciled them to God when he died. When he died. And the fact that he died for them assures that they, by Jesus Christ himself, will receive that reconciliation. So again, I say, do you see that when Christ Jesus suffered and died on the cross, that he actually accomplished some real salvation for those for whom he suffered and died? I will give you that statement again. I will begin it with what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, a portion of that verse. When Christ Jesus came into the world, he, in his sufferings and death on the cross, he actually, when he so suffered and died on the cross, he reconciled, he made peace for, he put away the sins of, he sanctified and perfected, he brought to God. You hear me? I said he brought to God those for whom he died when he died. And again, I point out, if you've never heard that, and this is the first time you've ever heard a man say that, then this is the first time you've ever really heard the gospel. I pray God Almighty Spirit brings you under conviction and brings you to bow to this truth. Consider this. Consider this. Hear me now. Don't turn away just these last couple minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. Hear me now. This is the record. You see it? This is the, and I've only read but a brief portion of this book that declares this same truth over and over and over again. This is the record. And as I said, as I mentioned, this is my title and subject. Here is the record of God's Son. I have given to you the record of God's Son. Now I want you, if you're still following along, if you're still with me, turn to 1 John chapter 5. And let's look at what John says about this. I may put this way. Here is a summary of the Apostle John to all of these things that I've said this morning. And I've only scratched the surface. I've only scratched the surface. Listen to what it says, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, and most of us do, we pick up that phone and we type in that person that tells us where to go and when to turn right and when to turn left and all of that, and we take them at their word. Listen to this. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. They're saying God didn't really do what God promised he would do through Jesus Christ, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son, do you see it? He that hath the Son hath life. Notice it doesn't even really say he that hath faith has life, although that is certainly true. But it's he that hath the Son. Why? Because faith looks to Christ. It believes that Christ did what this book says he did when he died on the cross. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The question is, do I believe that? The question also is, do you believe that? Do you believe the record God gave of his Son? I pray that God Almighty will make you to believe that record even this day. I want to remind you and encourage you that we also have on this WVVACW at 12 noon a portion of one of our Sunday morning broadcasts. I would encourage you to tune in and to listen.